A United Nations website notes that the first National Women's Day was observed in the United States on February 28, 1909. The Socialist Party of America designated this day in honor of the garment workers in New York. Joining us to discuss how far women have come in the realm of power, politics, and decision-making is Carolyn Hannon. She's the director of the United Nations Division for the Advancement of Women, and she's in our New York Bureau. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Clearly, women have made tremendous progress in terms of voting rights. Give us just a brief primer. What are the countries today that do not allow women to vote still?
There's only one country today, and that is Saudi Arabia. There are two countries which don't have elections to parliament. The parliaments are appointed. That's Saudi Arabia and Qatar. In 2005, Saudi Arabia did have a municipal election where only men voted. But they have made it clear in their report to the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women in the United Nations that they will have women voting in the next elections. And another recent example is from the United Arab Emirates, which held their first elections in 2006. And their women made up 22.5% of the elected members of parliament, which was a very good result for a first election.
Moving from voting now into women in positions of power, the United Nations said it's widely believed that increasing the number of women in decision-making positions will lead to positive changes for women in society. Are there specific examples of places where this is working?
Yes, I think there are. To give one example, in India, there is a quota for women at local level, 33%. And what we've seen in a number of villages in India is that women are very receptive to community demands for health, for education services, for transport. They also are very much more predisposed to implement promises that have been made. And the results have shown a very strong focus on addressing the rights and needs of women and children. There's also some findings which show that having women in these positions of power provides a very good role model for other women who are more than inclined to try to use the services that are available and also participate in other political processes. There's a good example from parliaments in Rwanda, which actually has the highest number of women in parliaments around the world today. And women parliamentarians pushed very hard to have a law on land rights, which is very good for women. And we've also seen, I think, examples of heads of state in Liberia, in Chile, in India, where they have paid a great deal of attention to issues that are important for women, such as sexual violence, providing daycare centres, looking at issues of harassment in the working place.
And having more women in the security forces in that country must be helping.
Absolutely, because the issue is much, much more on the agenda, and it's also seen as a very integral part of what we're trying to do in bringing about peace, sustainable peace. We have to look at the issue of violence against women as an integral part of that whole problem.
And on the local level, to have the women be the police force, and if we have a woman who is a victim, having a woman to talk to.
Absolutely. Women are not easily able to talk about the issues of rape and other forms of sexual violence and exploitation to men. It's much, much easier if they have a woman to speak to.
Carolyn Hannon is the director of the United Nations Division for the Advancement of Women. Thank you so much.
Thank you.